Hebrews. Hebrews 12 to be exact. Hebrews 12 and about verse 3. Guys, be praying for Brother Travis. Brother Travis is having some tooth pain issues, and if you've ever had that, that ain't no joke. Be praying for him. Pray for your church family. Pray for America. We have much to pray about. Yeah, before I forget, I'll go ahead and remind you again. Sister Robin just said it, but this is something that is really, really important, really something we're trying to get going here at VLC. Every single Monday night at 6:30 p.m., and if 6:30 doesn't work for you, do it when you can. But if you can, come together at 6:30 with your family or whoever you're with and just spend some time in prayer. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. You will definitely never look back and say, man, I regret spending that time in prayer. No, it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we have. And I feel comfortable in saying that we need the practice. We need the practice. We need the prayer. Amen? Hebrews 12 in verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son who he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is testing you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your will being done in this service, Lord. Thank you, Father, that those of us that are right in the middle of a storm right now, or are those of us that might be battling a little confusion or anxiety or depression, Lord, Father God, thank you that we're going to leave here changed people, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you're working all things out, Lord. You're working all things out better than we can imagine. And Lord God, teach us and train us, Lord, to put our trust in you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Father God, thank you for your anointing. Your will be done. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. God is good. Amen. Go ahead and give him some praise. Let's get a little excited. I know it's been a crazy, crazy week, and there's a lot of craziness going on. You, beloved, have a reason to rejoice. You have a reason to be excited. Amen? Do you or do you not? Hey, God is in control. God is on the throne, and so we need to keep our focus on him. Matter of fact, let's jump into this. Hebrews 12 and verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. So think about this. Let's all look back a little bit because, yeah, you're probably going through a little something right now. I'm sure you're going through a little something right now. I'm sure you're dealing with plenty of things right now. But look back at your Lord and Savior and look what he endured. Go ahead and do it. Take you a second. Think about what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross and let that sink in, okay? Because he endured it. He persevered. All God's people said endured. Endured. He persevered. He went through all that torment. Listen to what I'm saying, guys. He went through all that for you and for me. Okay? So right now, before we go any further, you're blessed. You are blessed because Jesus Christ did it. He went to the cross. He snatched those keys. He destroyed death. So give him some praise, guys. Get excited, man. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you think Jesus was treated fair? Look back. He was betrayed. He was misunderstood. You ever feel like any of these things have ever happened to you? He was betrayed. He was misunderstood. He was lied about. Never mind all the physical stuff. But you know, he went through so much for me and for you. Okay, and he knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like to be tempted. Did you guys know that? He knows what it feels like to suffer unjustly. Amen? Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Look back at what Jesus Christ did for us. We're blessed folks, man. And let that give you some encouragement. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ went through so much and he was treated so unfairly. Okay, you want to talk about unfair? Look at what happened to him. And he endured every single bit of it. He saw what was waiting for him on the other side of the cross. And he said, it's so worth it. I'm going to do this, okay, because it is going to be so worth it. So here we are going through our trials. And I'm not discounting it all. I know that we're going through some mess right now. I get it. I get it. I know that a lot of people are really, really going through some crazy situations in this church, in this building. Okay, but let's pull our strength from looking at the cross, from looking at Jesus Christ and seeing what he did for us. Okay, because he went through it because he knew there was a big blessing on the other side. Because when he did what he was supposed to do, guess what? He made a way for all of us to be saved. Amen? You're blessed. Let's start right there. You're blessed. All right, so when we look at our situation, we look at our finances, we look at the, oh, I can't find hand sanitizer, or whatever's going on in your world. And I mean, some of us got some real junk going on, man. Okay, start here. Let this be the foundation. I am blessed because I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen, I am blessed. I want to read Hebrews 4 in verse 15, right there on your monitor. Check this out. Jesus Christ, this is so cool. And a lot of us don't really ever think about it this much. Jesus Christ knows exactly how you feel. Jesus Christ knows how you feel to be tempted. He knows how you feel when you're going through those hard times and you feel like nobody gets it, nobody understands. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. I don't know, but I do know this. Jesus Christ knows exactly how it feels, and he loves you with an undying love. Did you hear what I said this morning? Hebrews 4 and verse 15, check it out. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. So here we are. We have access to God the Father. We have direct access to God the Father because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ ripped that veil, man. We have access to God the Father because we got a problem. We got a bad problem. We got a sin problem. And God can't have anything to do with sin. But thank God for his son. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a high priest. We have direct access to God the Father. And talking about prayer, how often do we take him up on that? Because God wants to hang out with us. God wants to spend time with us. God wants to be part of our decision making. Amen. He really, really does. And we can save ourselves a lot of unnecessary consequences if we would hang out with him and be obedient to what his word says. Amen? Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that cool? Jesus Christ walked on this earth for 33 years, man, and he knows what it feels like, man. He knows what it feels like to be treated unfairly, to be betrayed, to be lied about, to be beaten, all that stuff, to be murdered. You know what I mean? He knows what it feels like to be tempted. Just he didn't give in to it. You know, well, what kind of temptation would that be? We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the second man of the Trinity. We're talking about God in human flesh. Yeah, we are. We're talking about 100% God and 100% man. And that man part, if I can say that, was being tempted. And that man did not give in to that. He could have, but he didn't. You know what I mean? He knows what you're going through. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. He knows what you're going through, and he cares. You're not alone. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not alone. About three quarters of you people decided you weren't going to do that. And that's okay, because I probably wouldn't have done it either. Anywho, moving forward, we're talking about Jesus this morning. We're looking back. We're seeing what he went through for us. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Sometimes we do get tired, man, you know. But see, the writer of Hebrews, which I think is Paul the Apostle, but that's neither here nor there. The writer of Hebrews is saying, don't be discouraged, man. Don't grow weary in doing good. Look at what Jesus went through, man, and he did it. Okay, that's our forever example. In your struggle, this is cool, man, I like this. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Look at your neighbor and say, you're still around. You're still around. Man, okay, if you're still breathing, if your lungs are still working, man, God's not done with you yet, okay? God still has something for you to do, okay? And we're looking back at the cross right now. We're looking back at Jesus Christ, and we're saying, you know what? He went through a lot more. My Lord and Savior went through so much more for me, okay? And yeah, I've got these problems, but they're nothing compared to what Jesus Christ went through for me. Amen? That's the thing here. That's what we're talking about. Hey, you're still around. You're still breathing. Okay, well, don't be complaining, man. Move forward. Trust in God. Amen? Can I get a witness? Okay, let's go to the next slide, guys. You know you're blessed. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation? Okay, so here's the deal. The writer of Hebrews is going back old school. He's going back to the Old Testament to make his point, okay? And that's what we got to do, guys, okay? We always follow Scripture. I want to say this again. If somebody comes up to you and it sounds really cool and fascinating or whatever, make sure it can be backed up by Scripture, okay? Because there's a lot of crazy stuff out there, okay? But the writer of Hebrews says, hey, let's take a look back in the Old Testament, okay? So whatever we do, whatever we're going to be obedient to, it's going to be out of the Word of God. Amen? Okay, I just wanted to throw that in there. Hebrews 12 and verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation? This is actually Psalms 3 is what he's about to be quoting or pulling from. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Think about that. That's not just something. Micah, check this out. This isn't just something that Christian folks say. We're children of the Lord. You know, that's a real thing, man. We've been, all God's people, we've all been grafted into that family. You've been adopted. You know what's cool about being adopted? We got picked, man. We got picked out. Man, awesome. All God's people said, that's pretty cool. Yes, it is. Think about it. God said, you know what, David, you're mine. You're coming with me. And if you're like me, you kicked and screamed a little bit. You know what I mean? But God didn't give up on you. And he still ain't giving up on you. But see, now that we belong to him, and if you don't belong to him, you need to belong to him. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't put it off another day. I'm losing friends, and I don't mean just walking away from me. That happens too. But I'm losing folks, man, that I grew up with every couple few weeks, man. Sometimes, you know, one passes away. You know, it happens all the time. Tomorrow is not promised to you. Okay, so if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you need to do it today. Don't do it for me, okay? Do it for you. We're talking about an eternal situation here, because you're going to spend eternity somewhere. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not talking about building orphanages. I'm not talking about putting $5 in the offering plate every month. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe, okay? And that's the only way to the Father. Or let me just say it like this. The only way to eternal life is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Moving forward. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Yes, we are his children. We've been grafted into that family. We are joint heirs. 2 Corinthians, look right here on your monitor. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. and I will be a father to you. Some of us have never truly known the love of a father. Some of us have a really weird ideal about God because of our relationship with our earthly father. And some of us have had awesome dads, you know. But see, here's the situation. And I will be a father to you. It's not, and I will be like a father to you. Or you can call me dad if you want to. I'm not going to tell anybody. No. He says, I will be your father. What an awesome thing, man. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Jesus Christ is our big brother. Amen. Well, that's a profound truth. Okay, but see, here's the deal, man. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are grafted into that family, and God just made us a promise. Like I've said many times before, people will make you promises all the time, man. You know, and we'll weigh it out. Does this person keep his word or doesn't he? You know, but when God makes a promise to us, we know he's not lying. We got a whole book of how he's been faithful. Plus, he's been faithful in our life, in our brothers and sisters' life. So God just said this to us. You are my son. You are my daughter. Does that make sense this morning? You belong to me. I love you with an undying love. Okay, moving forward. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son. This is Proverbs 3 right here. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. Now this discipline thing here. Yeah, we know God disciplines us. He is our father, so it is his obligation, just like your earthly father, to bring correction to you. You know what I mean? To train us up in the way we should go. But this is actually also talking about this, the discipline, this word discipline is interchangeable right here with what they're talking about in Hebrews, like trials. Does that make sense? Yes, discipline from the Father, correction, but also talking about the trials. Listen up, the trials that God lets you go through. There's a reason why he lets you go through these things. Okay, and we don't like to always hear that. That doesn't make us all feel really good all the time, that God has decided, God signed off on this. You know, I'm gonna let Sister Gwen go through this. I'm gonna let Sister Rachel Jean go through this. I'm gonna let Court Davenport go through this. You know what I mean? That doesn't make us feel real good. But God knows what he's doing, amen. And here we are in the middle of our storm. Let's look back. Okay, look what Jesus endured. He went through all of it. Okay, so I'm in the middle of my storm, but he's in the boat with me. Can I get a witness? And we can be like the king in the Old Testament that says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That's what we got to do. Keep our eyes on him. Keep our focus on him. Can I get a witness? Okay. Verse 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Okay, well, that makes me feel a lot better. He's allowing me to go through this, or he's bringing correction into my life because he loves me. Okay, that's a true statement. We are loved by God. All right? We don't always approve of the things he does, but guess what? You ain't God. He's the one in charge. So we got this crazy world going on right now, and it's getting crazier by the day. You know, but guess what? God's in the boat with us. Amen. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. So look at your neighbor if you want to and wake him up. Look at your neighbor if you want to and say, you know what? I'm loved by God. I am loved by God. That should mean something to us. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. That's important. Okay, because if you're not his kid, then you're not his responsibility. Did you understand what I just said? If you're not his kid, then you're not his responsibility. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Okay, that's God saying, give me your burdens because you're my responsibility. You're my baby and I love you and I don't want you to be all stressed out. Okay, but see, we're in the family. We're in the family and God says, hey, you're going through this, because I signed off on it. You're going through this because this is something that is bringing you to a place of maturity. This is a needful thing for your relationship with me. Can I get a witness? It is for discipline that you have to endure. I got this relative guy. I don't know why this popped into my head just a minute ago, but I'm going to try this. I mean, I'm not going to try the trick, but let me tell you this. So I got this relative dude, and he's got this dog, a really, really cool dog. And I tried this with my dogs, but it didn't work. But he has this really, really cool dog, and he would put a piece of food. Check this out, Billy Joe. He would put a little snack or a little piece of food right on the dog's nose, right there, just right there on the nose. And the dog was so disciplined. I mean, his mouth would be watering, and he'd be thinking about it. And see that little treat right there on front of his nose, man. But he was so trained, man, that he would not snap at it or grab it until the owner said, all right, get the treat or whatever he would say, and the dog would move and the treat would fly in there and grab it in his mouth. The doggy was disciplined, man. You know what I mean? He had all... That is the stupidest. Let me make a note real fast. Yeah, we won't talk about that anymore. Dog treat didn't work. Yeah. So, skip that one. Okay, God, forget all that nonsense about the dog. Okay. So, do you guys want to take a break? You want to come back after lunch and finish this? I feel like I lost everybody. Jeremiah, we're going to go ahead and go through this. We're going to endure. We're going to persevere. It is for discipline that you have to endure. There's a reason why you're going through this stuff. God is making you that vessel that He needs you to be. Amen. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? That's a good point. If you're in the family, let's say it like this. If you're in the family, you're going to go through hard times, man. If the world that does not even belong to the Lord, okay, those that have rejected God or those that don't have the time of day for Him, those that don't want anything to do with Him, they're going to go through hard times too. You know this whole, the commercials, we're in this together, the world's falling apart, we're in this together, you know, yes and no, man. Okay, we're going through trials and storms, but God is using it for something in our lives. You know why? Because He's our daddy, okay, and it's His job to mature His people. You know, just like you, as a mother, as a father, as an aunt, as an uncle, we've got responsibilities, man, okay, and God takes that very serious. He doesn't want a bunch of spoiled brats running around, man. He wants some mature people that can be a light to a lost and dying world. Can I get a witness? It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. He's not picking on you. You're in the family, man. He's not picking on you. He loves you. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? That's a good point, man. That's a good point. So if you're going through it, okay, you're going through it, well, guess what? That's a good indication that you're in the family. You know what I mean? God's allowing you to go through something. It's for His glory and your growth. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, right there on your monitor. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial. You ever get surprised at your fiery trials? I get surprised all the time at my fiery trials. Like, man, I totally did not see this fiery trial coming. You know, I was like, I thought this was all I had to deal with today. But now I got this fiery trial to deal with and this other fiery trial to deal with. I don't want to deal with none of these fiery trials. Okay? But God says, hey, you're in the family. Okay? And you're only here for a certain amount of time. And I got need of you. I want to use you. Okay? I'm not running a daycare here so you can paint on the walls and everything and get the toilet all clogged up. Okay? Here's the deal, man. I need you. I want to use you. I saved you. I saved your soul now. Okay? Sanctification time, man. I'm maturing you so I can use you while you're here. Can I get a witness? Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Okay? There's a reason for it. As though something strange were happening to you. You ever been like that? Man, this Christian thing is tough. Yeah, it is tough. But we got Jesus. And this is the only place for you to be, man. This is what we need, that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the world's going to go through messes too, right? We know that. But see, when we go through something, it's for God's glory. It's for your maturity. Give them some praise. Let's go to the next slide, beloved. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, yep. If you're not partaking in the Lord's discipline, then you're not family. And that's scary, man. Look back and say, man, you know, it's been clean, clear sailing for me, man, for as long as I can remember. Well, that might mean you might not have a relationship with Jesus. If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If you're his kid, you're going to go through it. Amen. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. This is the truth, man. This is the gospel truth. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's just part of being a Christian. We're going to go through these storms. We're going to go through these messes. But God's allowing it for something good. Amen? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have all had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. You know, when I was a kid, man, I was like, man, you're just being mean. You're just being crazy, and you know, you shouldn't treat people like that, and you know, everything. I was a kid, man. I didn't want to get it. But see, as I matured a little bit and got older, you know, I was like, I get it, man. I understand it. You had to discipline me. You had to work on me. You had to help me become that person that I was supposed to be. Okay, so we get it. We understand it, right? We see, okay, the old man. The writer of Hebrews is like, give the old man a break, man. He was doing what he thought was best. Okay? Besides this, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. We understand the concept. We understand that we had to go through this. Okay? Maybe we didn't agree with how it went down or whatever, but like, okay, I get it. We had to be disciplined. Okay. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? If you can understand the fact that your earthly father had to discipline you or train you to get you ready for life, okay, to get you to be that person that he thought was what you needed to be, then look at God, and certainly we can understand that God's allowing you to go through this, okay, and we can respect him for it, that he's doing what is best for us. We might not understand it. We might not get it. We might be like, well, I'd do it a completely different way. But guess what, man? God knows what he's doing. Amen? Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Okay, verse 10. For they disciplined us, our earthly fathers, they disciplined us, and mamas. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. That's true. They did what they thought was best. And when humans discipline their children, I mean, I've been a daddy for a while now. And, you know, when you discipline your children, there's a lot of factors that we bring into it, you know. Like, okay, you made me look stupid in front of these people. Or there's all these things, you know, that aren't necessarily, we don't necessarily do the right thing. Let me just say it like that. Even if our heart's in the right place, we don't always necessarily do the right thing for our kids. Okay, but see, here's God saying, you know what, I'm going to allow you to go through some stuff, but I can 100% guarantee it is the right thing for me to do for you, to allow you to go through this, because this is going to teach you to lean on me. This is going to, you're going to grow in intimacy. I mean, scouts honor, man. We don't pray like we pray when there's no hope except for God. That makes sense? Sometimes we got to go through those crazy times, man, where our only hope is Jesus Christ, and we're going to grow in relationship with him. Anyways, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. So they had us for a period of time, and they did what they thought was best. But he disciplines, God, but he disciplines us for our good. Think about that. Trials, storms, all this stuff. God says, this is for your good. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share, that we may share his holiness. Remember, our God is holy. Our God is the one true God. There's no gods like him. Amen. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We serve the one true God. And he is holy, 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 completely separated from sin, can't have anything to do with sin. That's why we had to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because his righteousness was put on us and our sin was put on Jesus Christ. And he says, you know what? You're my kid. You're my kid and I love you and you're going to go through this, but it's for a good reason, because I want people to recognize you as my son. Okay? I don't want them to say, well, you're a hypocrite, or you think you're too cool for school, or you just look down on other folks. No, 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 no. He says, I want you to be like me. I want you to be holy because I'm holy. I want to be more of God and less of you. Whoop-de-doo. Amen? So here we go. That's what we signed up for. Sanctification. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody okay? Can I get y'all a muffin with some butter? Okay. I'll have to run, go get some. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. Is that true? Yeah. I don't remember ever being like, man, this is all right. This is all right. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Nope. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. We don't like going through these trials. We don't like getting this kind of information. We don't like going through this mess. All right? Nobody digs it. But there's a reason for it. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, this is it. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. There it is again, man. God is maturing us. He's growing us up. And we're talking about yielding fruit, man. Bearing fruit. Don't you want to be a fruit-bearing Christian? Don't you want to be a blessing to others around you? Don't you want to be able to encourage others? Well, you know how you get a tree to bear lots and lots of fruit? You got to prune all them areas, man. Prune them dead areas. Can I get a witness? But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Remember that stupid dog story where I put the guy put the thing on the dog's nose and it was trained and it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. We're being trained. That's what I'm trying to say, man. God says, I'm training my people. I'm getting them ready, not for just stuff here. He definitely wants to use us here, and time is short. But he's training us for what's around the corner for us, man. You know we're going to be judging angels and stuff? Wow. All God's people said, wow. Like this, wow. Luke 12 and verse 32. Trials are needful to teach us reliance on God. Is that a true statement? Trials are needful. This is true or false? Trials are needful to teach us reliance on God. Very true. Luke 12 and verse 32. This is a goodie. Fear not, little flock. Man, I love this verse. Fear not, little flock. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that tender? Remember this, guys. God knows what it feels like to be tempted. God knows what it feels like. Jesus Christ went through an awful lot of pain and suffering and sorrow and rejection. And he knows what it feels like when we go through something like that. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. See, God is our Father. Amen. And my God, who is my Father, just said, don't be fearful, man. Yeah, you got to go through this trial. Yes, you got to go through this storm, but it's a necessary thing for your growth and my glory. Amen? He said, don't be fearful. Well, God, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, he totally does, man. He knows exactly what you're going through, okay? And he loves you with an undying love. So he says, hey, man, snap out of it. Don't be so fearful all the time. Man, you're on top of the world, man. You're like Karen Carpenter, on top of the world. You know? You're on top of the world when everything's smooth sailing. But then as soon as one little thing gets out of line, man, you're going crazy. Is anybody like that? Any of y'all like that? I get like that. All right, I'm just being honest, whatever. Okay. Never mind. Well, this is just for me. This last part's for me then. Fear not, Paul. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our God, our dad, is a king. He is the King of Kings. You know what I'm saying? And kings rule, man. King, our God is in control. He's in control of everything you're going through, okay? He knows the end from the beginning of what you're going through, okay? He knows the end result. He knows all that. He knows how far you are into this trial. And he just told you, he says to you like this, he says, fear not. Fear not. Don't be full of fear, little flock. See that tender thing? Like when you would talk to one of your little kids, hey, baby, it's okay. There ain't no goblin prince in the bathroom. Go ahead and go in there. No. Don't be full of fear. I'm the king. I know what's going to happen. I'm in charge of all this. So just trust in me. And that's what I want to tell you guys. In the middle of your storm, just keep your trust in him. Keep your focus on him. Keep your eyes on God. And look what he endured for you. Amen? Look what he endured for you. And here we are on this journey. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. Don't be discouraged. Trust in God. He's in control, and he loves you. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for blessing this group of folks, Lord. Jesus, thank you that we're not a fearful bunch. We're trusting in you. We're brave and courageous, Lord, and we want to be about your business. Guide us and lead us and direct us, Lord. Thank you that this is a church that is unified, Lord, that we have a spirit of unity, that we love our brothers and sisters, Lord. No, we don't always get along with them. We might see things a little bit different than them. But we love them, Lord. We love them, and we want to be there for one another, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, that you're going to work all things out. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.